ladies and gentlemen, from the Microsoft Theater here in downtown Los Angeles, brought to you by Sean Porter Promotions.
And we back with another one. Showtime Sean P and with two T's, the Porterway Podcast, live right now on the Patreon. I can't give you the finger if you're watching this right now on this Tuesday. I can't give you the finger, but I want to.
Why would you want to do that?
Why would I want to do that?
And no, F all this. Why you got people call me Ant with two T's when I'm out in public? Everybody, that is the new intro. Hey, Ant with two T's, what's up?
You started it.
We got Keith waiting. Now you don't put Keith through this.
What up, Keith? Welcome to the podcast. Let me make this official. Welcome to the Porterway Podcast yet again.
Yeah.
Keith, one time, Thurman. Unmute yourself.
What's up, guys? Yeah. Thank you so much. It's a blessing to be back, kicking it, chopping it up, and doing what we always do, man, talking boxing.
And future Hall of Famer. If Keith don't fight another day in his life, Hall of Fame.
That's how you going to start this interview?
I'm just being honest. Hey, Keith, giving him his credit.
Man, he's just saying facts, man. It's okay.
That is facts, y'all. Hey, come on.
We grinding.
Hey, Keith.
We put in the work already at 147, so I appreciate that Hall of Fame shout out. You know what I mean?
Hey, because if Keith is like this, then you like...
Hey, listen, this is going one or two ways, and it went the way you wanted
to go. He's a Hall of Famer.
Listen, now it's going to go the way I wanted to go.
Okay.
Are you still one time? Talk to me about it.
Okay.
Man, yeah, you know, it's very interesting. You know, I have to put in the work, you know. Real talk, Sean, man. You know I've been a power puncher since the amateurs, you know. You remember Ben Getty, and he was just – he was always in my ear. There was a certain intention we had. He was a coach with a military background. Mm. And, you know, it was, get him, boy. You know, so, you know, after Ben Getty passed away, you know, I was allowed to focus a lot more on my boxing and evolve as a full spectrum fighter. But, you know, that real dog, the one who... only, you know, headshot, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, just trying to eliminate everybody, you know, eventually getting the win. I was finding satisfaction in the W's, you know? So it's been a battle for Keith One Time Thurman as staying and as the original one time. I ain't gonna lie. I know a lot of people say once upon a time and you know, all sorts of other things out there, but you've been adamant of reminding people, look, I don't care when my dog got a last knockout, Thurman is deadly. You know, these are facts. It's the way that I throw, the way that I commit, but there's a little bit of an extra commitment, right? We all remember Mike Tyson. We remember how Iron Mike was going at it, you know, but you get my Iron Mike past the fifth round, sixth round, he's, you know, he's not as deadly.
Yeah,
you know, and with my ring IQ, with my understanding of boxing, I wanted Mike Tyson knockouts, but I never wanted to be a 5-round, 6-round fighter and put myself in that Mike Tyson scenario. So of course, I've extended my conditioning for many of these 12-round championship fights, and my overall philosophy and commitment in the ring slightly shift. If the knockout comes, it comes, you know. But Tim Tszyu is going to be right in front of me, man. If I put my foot down, plant my feet, and, you know, give him every I believe that, you know, I can shake up anybody, even moving up to 154, contracted weight 155, 10-ounce gloves. We fought in 10-ounce gloves in the amateurs. That didn't stop knockouts then. It's not going to stop knockouts now. So I really just think it's the commitment. I've been through a lot, but mentally focused, I'm doing my best to remind the world who Keith One Time Thurman truly is as a world-class fighter.
Another thing, Keith, and then I'll let Ant go ahead, but to the point of something you just said right there, a lot of people question your conditioning. I've seen it. I haven't seen it. I didn't see it when I fought you, but I've seen it in your last 2 to 3 previous fights or most recent fights in the last 7 to 8 years that you just fought. about that many times in the last, was it two fights in 8 years?
Yeah.
Man, I don't even.
No, nah, that don't even matter. Listen, the point is, a lot of people question your conditioning. A lot of people question whether or not you are a 12-round fighter. I mean,
I thought I did a good 12-round performance against Mario Barrios, you know, and that was another 2-year layoff, you know. So, you know, it is what it is. This is a tough fight. This kid is looking at me as a stepping stone. Reminds me of when I fought Carlos Quintana, because I had to fight Carlos Quintana. I moved up to fight Carlos Quintana because I wasn't getting the fights that I wanted at welterweight. Mm-hmm. I fought at 152 because I wanted to make it a catchweight. And of course, 152 was the amateur division.
Yeah,
I just pulled some strings. We wrote up the contract. He didn't mind. We did that. But yeah, man, you know, Carlos Quintana was talking about after Thurman, I want Canelo. He was telling Golden Boy he wants Canelo. He wants Canelo. But he couldn't get past Keith Thurman, you know. And, you know, I just know that this kid's looking at me as a stepping stone. All of my inactivity, they're just throwing him in the ring. They're just trying to give me a name. I just got to slap him up and move on to the next. But, you know, once fight night comes, it ain't going to be that easy now. It never was. It never was being in the ring with Thurman. It never was that easy. And it never will be that easy.
I really don't like having fighters on the show before they fight. I like having fighters on after the fight. I think before the fight, it's always a lot of talk. It's always a lot of, I'm guaranteeing you, it's a whole lot of positive speaking. And it's like, okay, that's one thing, but what are we going to see on fight night, you know? But you, my guy, this is a big fight. I wanted to get you on the show, and I wanted you to kind of, for the sake of words, say your piece and, of course, promote the fight. But I got to ask you this. When you talk about committing yourself to the sport, recommitting yourself to the sport, a lot of people got a lot of questions about you. Talk to us about how you recommitted yourself and how we can expect one time to be 100% on fight night against Tim Tszyu.
Well, before I just answer that directly, I'm gonna ask you a question. Where do questions come from?
Yeah, I mean, those questions come because we haven't seen you in the ring.
You got kids, Sean. You got kids, Sean. Where do questions come from? They come from two places. One, curiosity.
Yeah.
And two, lack of knowledge and understanding.
Ignorance, yes, sir.
Okay. So when people question Keith Thurman, it's only because they don't know Keith Thurman. When people question where's Keith Thurman at, it's only because they didn't see how many contracts I signed last year and didn't get a fight.
Mm.
They didn't see how many times I was in the gym all last year. They think I just now got back in the gym this year.
Damn.
That's where everyone's questioning. They think I've been a couch potato and now I'm coming back. I weighed 165 at the Crawford Spence fight. I was already doing strength and conditioning. I ended up allowing myself to go back up to 170. All last year, I was yo-yoing. I think the lowest I ever got was 163 last year. 163, 172, 170, 168, 165, 170. I was yo-yoing all year, man. So that's something that people don't understand, is that the inactivity, in quotations, is not as inactive as people perceive.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why you're saying inactivity is because you haven't seen me on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't seen me in the bright lights. You haven't seen me in action. And I accept that. And I forgive you for the ignorance that you bring saying that does Thurman have it? You know, I might not have done certain things to look like a devastating, scary welterweight, but I don't think I've really ever one day on national television put on a bad performance.
Absolutely not.
Hey, Keith, you said there was some contract fights that was ready to go set up. Can you name a couple of those guys or no?
I signed the fight against Spence.
Okay.
I was in training camp in December. The WBC mandated it in like November.
Okay.
Okay. But once he got into another little accident, everything had to get pushed back. I know I signed my contract. He must have never had the time to sign his, because when he got healthy enough, He went right over to Crawford with a mandate in position. So, you know, you wait for politics to work in your favor, and then somehow they still wiggle out, you know, sign that.
All right, what's the goal now?
I came to an agreement to fight Ugas. I said, they said, we should be able to get you Ugas. I said, I got no problem fighting Ugas. Was ready on my end. Didn't manifest, you know. I had the option to fight Stanley Onis.
Okay.
That looked like it was going to be what I was going to be getting prepared for. Then I got a phone call about Tim Tszyu, and they said, you do not have to take this fight, Keith. We're just presenting you a new fight, a new challenge, because we know we can make this happen. Now they, I've heard them say, you know, we should be able to make this happen, but they said, we know we can make this happen. They had even on the phone, it sounded like they had more confidence, because they said, please get back with us quickly, because if you say yes, we will make this a go. And 2 days later, I picked up the phone. I called the team up. I said, hey, this actually sounds fun. I don't mind moving up in weight. I don't mind this challenge. I like his name, his family name. It just, Thurman versus Tszyu sounded like a headliner. sounded like one for the history books, a part of my resume, my legendary resume, over Stanley Onis, who's a respectable champion, but it's still only sitting at, you know, 14-15-0. So no disrespect to Stanley Onis, but my team and I, this just brought a little bit more excitement. It brought all the doubters out. Now they're doubting my potential. They believe that people think I'm going to get stopped. And, you know, that just lights the fire even more, Sean, in preparation so that I can put on a performance. And like Roy Jones told him, y'all must have forgot. I've been bad. I still am. And I will be to the day I decide to retire.
All right, is this the first time you heard people talk about you being stopped?
Oh, dang.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, you know, I've never been stopped in my whole professional career, you know? I mean, being dropped is one thing. Being hurt with a body shot is another thing. Okay, Keith Thurman's been hurt to the body. Did Keith Thurman even go down? I never even went down from a body shot. So what they lack to understand is that to fight when you're hurt is a strength, not a weakness. If there's anything that you can guarantee about Keith Thurman when he's in that ring, even if he's hurt, I'm a survivor.
Yep.
My mind will go into the fight or flight. And for me, it will go into survival mode. And I'll start using every survival tactic I know to get to the end of the round, sit down, drink the water, and get ready for the next one.
Hey, Keith, there was one fight you took the mouthpiece out. I said, boy, that motherfucker was tough. I said, his body quit, yeah, but his heart would not let it. He was not going down. I don't know what fight that was.
I think it was. What's his name? The young kid, Barrios.
I was like,
was it Barrios?
It was Pacquiao and
Barrios.
Yeah. Pacquiao already got a knockdown. I couldn't give him another one, and then Barrios, he threw a punch from the Make-A-Wish Foundation. He ain't land nothing like that the whole fight. He just chose to yak it at the right time out of nowhere. I was reading everything, his body language. I was reading everything. That one little punch, yak him. And I just said, gotta breathe.
You almost spit up your Cheerios, huh?
Hey, but this is different, right? If I really want to breathe, right? If I really want to stop the clock, Sean, come on, you already know. You don't take the mouthpiece out your mouth. You spit the mouthpiece on the
canvas.
Yeah. Floor.
Yeah.
They don't know how different this man is. They just can't understand it. They don't understand it. Lord. And I forgive them. I forgive them because they're not about this life. Like I've been saying to the fans, you watch this. I live this.
Go ahead.
Keith Thurman, this is the second part of the one time era we're in right now. Yeah. What's the goal, man? You know, they're not giving you a this is not a title fight. So what's the ultimate goal for Keith Thurman after you get this win, or just the next 3 or 4 to 5 years of Keith Thurman?
The fine print of the contract guarantees me is a title shot after this fight, right?
What so, super welterweight? Super welterweight? Which one?
Yeah, I win in this division. I'm guaranteed a title shot in this division. Okay. Right? So that's fancy wordplay, but there's only one other champion out there.
Yeah.
So unless Tim Tszyu wants a rematch, then
Charlo?
And of course, the rematch, he would have to put the belt on the line, right? Because now I'm fully qualified. I already beat you. It should be my belt, but it's okay. Now the belt has to be on the line in the rematch. That's one potentiality. The other potentiality is the only other champion in this division right now, which is Charlo. So when I thought about what is being presented to me on contract, I have the potential to fight a champion, not take the belt, fight the other champion, grab 3 belts, right? Mm-hmm. And then technically, in 2 fights, I would have just ran through the 154 division. Theoretically, you know? Because on paper, there'd still be a champion out there. But on paper, I would have already beaten that champion. So you could almost declare, after 2 fights, if, you know, dreams come true, winner, winner, chicken dinner, winner, winner, chicken dinner, then your man Keith One Time Thurman has not only moved up, but has ran through 154 in 2 fights, bringing some exciting action into this division and, you know, reestablishing myself as a Hall of Famer. So just those thoughts out loud has really encouraged me to that it's grind time and that, you know, I can shine my light in boxing one more time in this second leg of my career if we can make these dreams come true.
You know, we all been wanting this, as a fan. You know, I never been in there, Keith. So you can kill me. I'm the guy. I'm one of the guys you're talking to. One of the fights I really wanted to see was Keith One Time Thurman versus Boots Ennis. Why we can't get that fight? What's the issue? I know Boots wants you. At least that's what he says.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
You know, so last year, mm-hmm. you know, Sean's my boy, so I'm always pretty transparent with everybody, but I'm gonna give y'all that extra transparency, gotcha. Okay? So, Boots was on the list of names, okay. right? So I get a list of names, Boots on the list, right? That I got no problem fighting Boots. I'm talking to Al. I got no problem fighting Boots, you know? All they gotta do is say, look, Keith, we can't get you paid unless if you fight Boots. I'll say run it, because I want to feed my family. Bet, you know? But they gave me a list. I said, well, if this is the list, and if I can get back active, which obviously at that point I haven't. At this point, we're trying to do it again. Activity, right? Boots is still on the table. Don't ever forget. Don't ever pretend like Boots ain't on the table. Boots will be on the table. But last year, Thurman versus Boots is a championship fight.
That makes sense.
The problem for the past 2 years in the welterweight division is that the belts have been locked up. With Errol Spence. Errol Spence locked up the division where everybody wants to fight Spence, you know? And then the Spence and Bud fight was the biggest fight that they could make happen, right? Mm-hmm. Thurman versus Boots a year ago, you know, it's worthy of a title shot. There's no title on the line. There's nothing on the line, just my legacy. I beat him. What are some people going to say? Well, maybe he wasn't really ready for Thurman. He never really fought anybody like that. He never. What is there for me to gain? You see what I just said about why I'm in this division right now. In 2 fights, I could shake it up, break it up, and put my name, boom, in the history books forever and ever and ever, ever and ever. Okay. You see what I'm saying? So gotcha. This is my job. This is my life. This is my passion. So what am I getting out of what I'm giving? What am I getting out of what am I giving? Okay, because I give my life to this game. Real talk, homie. I give my life to this game. Okay? So the list of names, all I said was, okay, there was There was Ugas on that list. I'll take Ugas. I'll take Stanleyonis. Mm-hmm. Give me one of the two next fight boots. Mm. These words, Al's ears, facts, no lies, no cap. These words into Al's ears, just for you, because we got love, we go way back, just for you, full transparency. Been there, done that, said that, I got no problem signing. Two things could have happened after I fought Mario Barrios. First thing they could have done is say, Keith, the only way you're going to get paid is fight boots. I'd say, run it, send it. Don't give me options. Because after Mario Barrios, I was ready to fight anybody. I wanted Terrence Crawford after Barrios. That just never happened. I wanted Crawford. You know? So what ended up happening was more time went by. As more time went by, I don't want to fight the top guys again. Give me another one to get in the ring, do my camp, and the following camp, give me the best fighter you got. Whoever it may be. Out of the list of the names, he was on the list. I already said yes to it. It just didn't manifest. The stars didn't align. I was still on the back burner. I'm still on the back seat. Finally, 2024, new network shift, new announcement. Stars are aligning. Thurman's getting back into primetime pay-per-view. And let's see what happens, man. And another thing, Spence fought, Bud, boom, belts are being released, boom, Mario Barrios becomes some regular champion after Ugas, even though I beat Mario Barrios, but he's active, I'm inactive, they got to give the belt to him, not to anybody else, blah, blah, blah. There's some politics for you. Then we go and we run around. Boots now has a belt. He now has a belt. This is just now relevant. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't hurt. I'm getting older. He's getting older, but he's still got prime time years, you know. I gotta be smarter, not harder. I gotta do this in a very wise fashion. But luckily I have the wisdom in the game. I wanna be like Floyd. I wanna be like Pacquiao. I want to do this till I'm 40, you know? Mm. So like Floyd did at the end of his career, from this point on out, if I can fight once every 5 months, 5 to 6 months, for the next 2 to 3 years,
yeah,
I'll be 38. After that year, I can go back to fighting once a year and salute you and compete, and then I'll be Sean's rival with my own podcast.
Oh, no. Come on. Okay. Cutting you off.
One more thing for me, Keith, and then we can get you up out of here unless Ann got anything else for you. When you talk about this fight, the X's and O's, I'm on record for saying I think you're going to win this fight. I just know what I know. Tell us what you feel, what you think about the X's and O's of this fight, and why you're going to beat Tim Tszyu.
You know, Tim Tszyu is just a solid guy, man. Really fundamentally sound, tough, strong. He's a pressure fighter, you know. But like when we were talking about the Crawford fight, you know, up against Errol Spence, I told everybody, I don't care if I got a loss on my record. Errol Spence Jr. has never been in the ring with a world-class athletic boxer like a Bud Crawford or Keith Thurman. Our styles aren't like super similar, but the potentiality of how we exert our athleticism in the ring is similar. You know, the way his accuracy is, you know, he's a switch hitter. He has some different modalities to him. Anybody who's been in the ring with me, they learn quickly that it's actually awkward. Thurman's kind of awkward.
Yeah.
He's kind of not what I thought he was going to be, mm-hmm. you know? And that's a strength that I've had for many, many, many years. They're not expecting what I actually bring into the ring. And, you know, Sean, with our amateur background, almost 100 amateur fights, competing in the international events, you and me were the only two Americans to beat Ukraine,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We were the only two Americans to beat Ukraine.
Yeah.
And I barely won that fight. That boy came to fight, okay? I barely won my fight for the red, white, and blue, okay? Yeah. So, but I've always been against the best in the world, okay? This kid, Tim Zhu, has been fighting on his little island. No disrespect.
But hey, he's been fighting
under his promotion. This is called the world of boxing for a reason. Now he's coming over here to Vegas. He's fighting on USA soil. And when you come over here and one of your first big-time fights is Keith One-Time Thurman, man, you signed a hell of a contract. It's the way I compete, the way I challenge myself and I challenge you, the one thing that I do is I make sure I hit you. I have an accuracy that is underrated, okay? Mario Barrios' face was evidence after the fight, okay? Because every time I came with that up jab, I kept popping them in the nose. It's the center of your face, and that's where I'm going to put it. Pop, boom, pop, boom. Let's see, man. Does this kid, Tim Zhu, get hit with more or less up jabs than Mario Barrios?
Damn.
You know, at 35, holding on to this weight, I'm feeling strong. I want to sit down. I want to use the power. I want my power to be my strength once again, the way Ben Getty used to talk about it. You know, you got to just, you hit anybody, boy, they're going to do a pretty little dance, you know? So this fight against Tim Zhu, I like the stylistic matchup. Pressure fighter versus boxer puncher. Mm-hmm. This is a classic matchup in boxing. Mm-hmm. That's why I like this fight. This is a classic matchup. We've seen pressure fighters break down boxers, movers. We've seen pressure fighters break them down. We've seen pressure fighters not be able to keep up with the footwork of boxers. We've seen them circle around, circle, 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 bah, bah, circle, slip, slip, bah, 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 slip, and hold. Release, bop, 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 move. You know?
Did you just see the fight in your head?
You know, in my head, this kid is going to try to knock my head off.
Yeah.
And in that moment, we can do something called an exchange.
Yeah.
You know? It's going to be a foreign exchange.
Ooh. Okay.
Be a foreign exchange.
I like that. I see what you did there.
You know what I'm saying? You saw what I did. Yeah. So, you know.
Hey, Keith, this is all I'm going to say. I'm going with the better dancer.
Hey, you already know, my man.
And I'm going to leave it at that. I didn't say it was you.
Hey, come on. Hey, are you in there, baby? You two stepping? Come on. That's the thing. I don't see head movement from Zhu. I saw a little bit of footwork. He seems to have a good understanding of distance. But once he underestimates by an inch, that's all it takes.
Keith.
You know?
Hey, Keith, I got one more for you. This just came to my mind. We were doing a show the other week, and somebody asked who I thought were some of the most violent fighters in the game right now. People, and I'm along with these people here. So I had a fan tell me, like, yo, Keith just got so comfortable with winning. And when he became not fun to watch because he got comfortable with winning. Can we expect you to be violent on fight night?
We got the fire burning, okay? We got the fire burning.
We're shoveling.
You gotta feed the fire. You gotta feed the fire. We got 5 weeks to go, pimp. 5 weeks to go. And you best believe I'm putting more coal, throwing it in the fire because, you know, boxing is just one of those sports. It doesn't matter what you did in the past. It's really just what you did yesterday. That's the only reason why they're trying me, because my yesterday was 2 years ago. That's the only reason why they're trying me, okay? I can't be like, man, you saw me knock that dude out 8 months ago. Man, you saw what I just did, 5 months ago. I don't have that story. That's the only reason why they try me right now, Sean. Look, it's not even their fault. They think it's my fault. It ain't even fully my fault, okay? You got to be in the game to really understand the game. Don't hate the game. Don't hate the players. But if you love the game, you're going to stick with it. Yes, and sir. Guess what? Your man is still here.
Yes, sir.
I'm still right here.
Yes, sir.
And there ain't no test. There ain't no test better than the Keith Thurman test. Why? Because I'm ready for war. These other guys done forgot their vest. We coming, Sean. We coming. You're going to enjoy this one. Believe it.
And I'm going to sum all that up to we.
Sean, if you don't enjoy this fight, don't ever have me back on the show.
Oh, man.
Keith going to be violent on fight night, y'all.
Hey. If Keith comes out with the ponytail, I got Keith in five. I got Keith in five with the ponytail.
I'll wear it at the presser just for you. I'll find one.
Hey, we'll see you on the next one, all right? We'll see you in a minute.
All right, man. Y'all boys stay blessed.
God bless.
Stay blessed, man.
This episode is brought to y'all by DraftKings. That being said, Ant, let's talk a little bit about the NBA.
So when we talk about the NBA, we're going to go east.
Okay.
Why wouldn't we? You're from Cleveland. So east right now, we got Boston number one. We got Milwaukee number two. Milwaukee just had a big change. It was weird. They were in second place and they fired their coach to bring in Doc Rivers. Whatever. third place, we got Sean hometown. Cleveland.
Listen, while you're checking out the NBA, I know you want to do some betting. What you're going to do is you're going to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app when you want to bet. You enter our promo code.
TPWP.
You enter our promo code. New customers, check out all those incentives and offers they got. Got a lot of great stuff on there for you.
That's right. New customers can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 if your first bet loses.
Existing customers, don't trip. DraftKings got something for y'all, too. Our customers get SGP insurance every day. Get a bonus bet back if one leg of your SGP loses. Minimum number of legs required, and max bet varies.
If sports betting is not available in your state, don't worry. You can still join in on all the fun with DraftKings Daily Fantasy and have a shot to win cash prizes.
Enjoy the NBA. Have a great time doing that. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and our promo code.
TPWP.
There it is. And we want to thank DraftKings for sponsoring this episode. This segment is brought to you by DraftKings, and we're talking about the NBA.
Yeah, man. Right now, you know, the NBA is wishy-washy. I don't know if you heard that when you was growing up.
Wishy-washy.
Doc Rivers took over as the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks.
You're still tripping on that
season. I never seen nothing like that right now. Milwaukee is sitting third in the East, Sean.
Yeah.
Do you think Milwaukee can win it all?
I do still think that they can win it all. I like the move to Doc Rivers, which is one of the reasons why, when I just look at it from a business standpoint, I say, hey, they are trying to figure out what they need to do, not only to get over the hump in the East, but how do we beat the Denver Nuggets? I don't think there's no secret who's coming out of the West this year. Yeah. Everybody's still, of course, looking at the Lakers and maybe another team, but it's Denver all the way in the West right now. They have just become a powerhouse. When you are the powerhouse guy, all of the strength that Milwaukee has, what do we need to do not only to get to two or one before we get out of here, but how do we get when we get to the championship against the Nuggets, we need to be as strong as we can be. And I think that Doc Rivers could be the secret to that success.
Well, if you confident as Sean Porter is, it's plus 700 right now for the Milwaukee Bucks to win it all. So $100 wins you $800.
Oh, that ain't big enough for me. That ain't big enough.
$100 down wins you $800? That's not enough?
Well, what is it when you add the zero? You know,
if
I like
to add the zero. Yeah. Oh, if you win, that's 8,000.
Oh, yeah. See, you got to add another zero.
Okay, I'll try to keep it. You never know. We could be in a recession by the time this comes out.
No, so, we're not.
Okay, I'm just hey, you got to be smart about your money. But at the same time, then we got another team. My team that holds a dear spot to my heart.
Okay? It ain't the
It's one team that I've been rolling with since you met me. And that's probably the only team I've rolled with since you met me. It's the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, I thought it was the Toronto Raptors.
Right now, you know, shout out to LeBron, shout out to Steph. It's almost over, man. They run. I'm starting to have to really enjoy it. We went from chances of making the championship talk to can we make playoffs?
Uh-huh.
Right now we're 29-26 in the West, ninth in the West. Do you give us a shot to making the playoffs, Sean? We're ninth in the West.
It's just one of those things. It's hard to see Floyd Mayweather losing to anybody. It's hard to see Stephen Curry not make the playoffs. Yeah, you know what I mean? Let alone of Ken. We know that there's been this transition in the NBA now, and they're no longer the big team that they once were. They just, time catches up to you. But it's still hard to see them not making the playoffs.
Okay, so you're rolling with the Warriors to make the playoffs. Okay.
Warriors will make the playoffs.
Okay, and I appreciate your bet. Okay, so the Warriors to make the playoffs, $1,000.
Yeah,
wins you $1,800.
$1,800.
Yeah,
that number ain't big enough.
Yeah, because of the odds, feel like they're gonna make playoffs. Oh,
that makes sense.
So, okay. That was our segment of sports, and that's the futures of NBA. So a couple of bets out there for you on DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Yeah.
And if
did you enjoy the NBA All-Star week?
NBA All-Star, I don't know if it's entertaining as it used to be.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to be that old guy in the room, but I'm turning to the old guy in the room.
But what it's supposed what the NBA All-Star Week is supposed to do is supposed to get you ramped up, ready for the playoffs. Are you playoff ready?
No, that didn't do that to me.
But are you playoff ready?
I'm playoff ready, but that didn't do that to me.
Golden State making the playoffs?
Yeah, we're going to playoffs.
You going to put the bet on it?
Yeah, I'll put the bet on it.
You going to put an extra zero on it?
No, I ain't going to put the extra zero on it. All right. Ain't going to get crazy.
Listen, y'all do what y'all want to do, man. I encourage you, put that extra zero on it. And when you do, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and our promo code.
TPWP.
And remember, the crown is yours. Hey, we definitely got to comment on everything that was just done and said. We got our other guests. I wanted OTS to come back on. Of course, asked requested to come back on to announce their new season of boxing that they're going to be doing. I do believe out in Atlanta. We're about to find out from OTS right now. Let's bring in Britton Harden. I think it's only Britton today with OTX. The OTX guys. Oh, it's two. Oh, we got both of them coming on.
What's going on, my guy? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Really cool. I'm bouncing around.
Okay.
Just checked into my hotel, so I wasn't, I had to make sure the lighting was right, the sound was right, everything. It's showtime.
Yes, sir. How you feeling, big dog?
Feeling good, man.
What's it looking like so far? I know you guys, you kick off the new season this coming week. Talk to us a little bit about the card. I saw the main event. Looks like a really good main event, but talk to us a little bit about the card.
Yeah, so we actually are back. March 29th is our first day back.
Okay.
Yeah, so March 29th.
Yes, this week.
Me and you kind of talked about the main thing. You alluded to that. Elijah Pierce.
Yeah.
Really excited to have him back. He headlined our first show. He headlined OTX1 back in August 4th. And at that point in time, he was ranked, I think, top 15 in the world in his weight class, and had a phenomenal experience. Third round knockout against Magic Mike Plania, who had done his thing at the weight class. And since that, he's been able to jump to number 8 at 122 pounds. And, he's surging right now. All kinds of popularity online.
Yeah.
Instagram following has doubled. A lot of people chirping at him, saying, that they saw some of that Tank footage that him and Tank sparred back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Elijah is just game. He's all for it. Mm-hmm. He wants to fight the best of the best at his weight class. We all know who that is. So, we decided to do a long term deal with Elijah. We believe in him a lot.
Nice.
He's really great, as a personality, as a fighter. And in the city of Atlanta, he's from Atlanta as well. And so, he brings him out when he fights. So we're really excited to see what he's going to be able to do starting back at OTX5, March 29. We got Haven Brady on that card.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you're familiar with Haven Brady,
mm-hmm.
Top prospect at 130 pounds. And this kid is just like, he's DMing me and texting me every day. And he's like, Britton, put me in there with anybody. I'm not turning anybody down. I'm not ducking no smoke. I want the toughest people at the weight class. I want to become a contender this year. And I say, you know what comes with that, right? When you, if you want to be a contender, you want to jump to those levels and you want to be ranked amongst those guys, you got to fight those names. And he's like, big dog, trust me. I'm not ducking no smoke. You tell me where to sign. I'm signing for anybody. Those are the kind of fighters I like.
Yeah.
You know, we got Dakari Mack Truck Scott, heavyweight on the car. He's also from Atlanta. Mm. He's going to be fighting Teddy Webster. You know, two tough heavyweights. You know, and I think that this is a platform where either one of those guys can come through and make a name for themselves. Dakari is from Atlanta. He's like, no, that's gonna be home for me, you know, that night. You know what I mean? So really excited about him. O'Shea Jones, Olympic bronze medalist.
Sugar.
You said what?
Sugar.
Yeah, Sugar yeah, Shea.
Sugar, man. Jones. Yeah.
I'm so excited about Sugar Shea. She's, as you got, man, she we don't say that it's women's boxing at OTX. We say that it's boxing.
Nice.
They put their lives on the line. They, for our entertainment. And she's just super skillful, super dedicated to the sport, man. Mm-hmm. And she's so sweet and shy, right? Mm-hmm. But then she'll have these moments where she's just like, Brittany, okay, none of these girls mess with me, right? You know what I'm saying? And I just love that, you know, because she really wants to put on for women's boxing. And I think that, you know, you guys are really well educated on the sport and women's boxing, you know, specifically. So you guys know, like, when Shay's coming, she's coming. Uh-huh. Giovanni Marquez, really excited about Giovanni and Dante Lane, man. So, you know, to your point, we got a stacked card.
Yeah, man.
Really excited about all of those names.
Honestly, man, all the names that you just mentioned on that card, you got two cards right there at least. you could push three cards out of that, but that's easily two cards right there. How many you guys are still on DAZN?
Yes, we're going to be on DAZN this year. Continuity with DAZN. The storytelling was great. Obviously, they're a great platform for boxing, a huge proponent for boxing and you know, the kind of fighters that we want to highlight. So, yeah, we wanted to make sure that we came back with DAZN in a major way this year.
And then how many cards you guys got this season?
We're going to do 8. So okay. Last year we did 4 in 1 month, which was a whirlwind, and it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
You got to see the crescendo with the last event and saw how packed it was and the audience reception in Atlanta. This year we're going to do 8 events, 8 consecutive months throughout the year, mm-hmm. and we're going to be traveling this year. So not only are we going to be in Atlanta at the OTE Arena where we were last year, but we're also going to go to sites like you know, DC, Miami, Mexico City, and Houston, Texas.
Nice. You guys are doing it.
Yeah, doing, man. It. We're all over the globe with it.
And I you know, I got, you guys have the best thing that I'll always pray for in boxing, the overtime rule. Where did that come up? Who came up with that? And man, how can we push this more in the sport of boxing? Because I love it. I was like, a draw? Ain't no draw. We got one more, baby.
You know, you just touched on it, man. Just a lot of innovation, a lot of electricity in the building when we announced that overtime round. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy that, you know, it's starting to reverberate so that if somebody else tries to pick it up, you know where it originated and OTX. Where it started from. But, you know, we did a lot of research mm-hmm. and investigation before. You know, we don't just jump into sports just for the sake of jumping into sports and doing things, right? Like, just because we can doesn't mean we're going to do it. Before we got into the sport of boxing, I want to say that there was probably like a year, year and a half, almost 2 years of intensive research, making sure we were surveying the right people, understanding what do people like about the sport, what do people not like about the sport, right? And when we're having these surveys and we're talking to our audience, the first thing we found out was that boxing was a top 3 sport amongst our audience, right, at overtime. And the second thing, you know, was understanding what would make you a detractor of the sport. And one of the top things people said is, don't understand how somebody could dedicate 2 to 3 months of their lives to a fight. You can go out there, you can give it your all, and then somebody can just steal it from you and say that it was a draw. So, you know, it also goes with the name overtime, but we mm-hmm. just decided, hey, we agree with you. The fighters deserve finality. They've dedicated their lives to, you know, this pursuit. And Sean knows you might fight, you know, only 2 or 3 times a year. That's your Super Bowl. Yeah. You really want to put on. You really want to make a name for yourself in every single. It's not like, and this is not a black eye on any other sport. But if you lose in basketball, it might not mean anything in the grand scheme of your basketball career that year. Mm-hmm. Well, in boxing, you know, if we're looking at it like, you know, over the, you know, the resume of a fight of a fighter's career, one loss is very meaningful. One draw is very meaningful. Those things can set you back. And so we wanted to give our fighters every opportunity to shine on a big platform and perform at their best. Thus the overtime rule.
Gotcha.
One more for me. When people want to attend these fights, tell them how they can get tickets, how they can be a part of what y'all got going on down there with OTX.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, we have a really active Instagram page. If you follow our Instagram page, man, I'm really proud of our social team. We're the fastest growing social media platform in 2023. That's, you know, the first thing. I can't make that up. We've grown to, I want to say, 1.5 million followers in just like 8 months or something like that. And we're, you know, really impressed with the kind of content that we create, storytelling that we do with our fighters. So that's the first thing. You can, we're always dropping links. The link is in the bio to get the tickets. You can go to our website, which is overtimeboxing.com, and get tickets. And we're constantly posting and telling you where you can get tickets to our events.
Y'all got Chris Algieri coming back to do the commentary?
Maybe. We might. We have some surprises this year.
Oh,
you know,
excuse me?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think people are going to be really surprised, and people are going to be really impressed with the voices that we have narrating Overtime Boxing this year. Is going to be a educated group of people, and it's going to give you a very worldly vantage point, right? I mean, you know, from a fighter's perspective, from an analyst perspective, from a cultural lens, we want to cover the sport in all those different ways.
Hey, why do I feel when I watch your stuff a different energy that I don't feel when I'm at other places, even the big name places? I feel a different energy. I've experienced the arena yet, but just watching it on TV, man, it's a different energy. It's like I'm feeling, I don't know what how to explain it yet, but I'm feeling something else. I'm seeing something else.
It's good overtime, thing. Baby.
What'd you say?
Said it's overtime, baby.
Okay.
You know,
okay. That's the word I'm looking for.
It's honestly, I can't give you the secret sauce. Uh-huh. You know, it's just a lot of passion and a lot of desire for the sport to be the best that it can, for those athletes to be the best that they can, for that car to be the best that it can, for the arena, for the in arena experience to be the best that it can, for the audience that's there, for the on the production side when you're watching it at home, for you to have the best experience. Like, that's what our meetings are about. That's how our meetings start. Right. We got a whiteboard and we say, how do we make this the best experience for the viewing audience, for the audience in the arena, for the fighters coming to fight on our cards? You know what I mean? We don't look at it and say, how can we just put on a show and fill some slots and fill some dates? We want you to have a cultural experience, and we want you to walk away from that being like, man, I got to be at the next one.
Man, sweet. I love what you just said there. We're not just filling some dates. And that's what a lot of sports try to do with the sport, with their respective sports, especially boxing, is just let me fill this date. Listen, full transparency and honesty, I thought the fight was next week. And so I was pushing to get you on today so that we could, I wanted to, we're going to have you on.
Week before?
Probably the week before. We're going to do this again, to remind everybody out there. But Britton Harden, OTX, Atlanta, March 29th. And you can look on their Instagram and you can get the tickets and all that good stuff. Thank you for joining the podcast again, big dog. And I'll see you in a couple weeks.
Absolutely, brother. I'll see you soon. Let's do a fight week.
Yes, sir.
All right, man.
On the next one.
Yeah, if you haven't never watched OTX Boxing, man, Sean, they have an overtime rule. If it's a draw, we do one more round. That's the size of the fight. I love that.
Let me tell you, this is the part that I don't know if y'all see this on TV, and I don't know if you saw this, because you didn't go with me.
No, I wasn't.
You weren't with me. As the fight's going on, the corners, they're preparing for that overtime round. Oh, so let's say it's a 6-round fight. In the 5th round, go out there, you got to win this round. When that round ends, or excuse me, when that's going to, after that 6th round ends, they going back to the corner like, do I need to keep my gloves on? Not get these off me, you know? What I'm talking about is the energy. Energy to see these fighters knowing that this is the last round, so let me give it my all. That way I ain't got to go another round. But also not being so like
I'm done.
Not yeah, like not having yeah, that sure. Yeah. Am I done? I saw one guy. He was like, tell me if I got to keep going. Like he was like still hyped up, and it's like that's how it is. Yeah. Especially the fights that I lost. Yeah. I wanted to get back in the ring in that moment. Yeah, yeah. Now you telling me I got to stand here and find out if I got a draw. The energy turns up. Yeah. Everything turns up. And when I the overtime round that I saw, they turn it up in the arena.
Like, oh, it get lit like that?
They make the announcement, all that okay. kind of stuff. Yeah, so it's fun, man. It's a fun atmosphere. They call it the OTE. That's it's a basketball arena. Now they've like added that boxing stadium to it or whatever. I mean, it's just, it's 100%. Carmelo Anthony was at the fight that I went to. A couple other ball players was down there too.
Okay.
Yeah. Keith Thurman.
Keith Thurman.
We got it. Let me get to Keith and then we'll get out of here.
That was a way better interview with Keith. You know, I've been pretty down on Keith's interview. I wasn't looking forward to the interview. Keith, because I feel like he'll answer our questions.
Oh, yeah.
But he was giving us stuff.
He went all the way around.
But he gave us everything we needed. He sprinkled, talked about stuff I think he supposed to talk about. And then I said, Keith, boy, you mentioned a name. You said, I didn't mean to get you in trouble. Shout out to Keith Thurman. He actually gave us some legit stuff.
Shout out to whoever the hell that was that said I'll be trying to bounce people off the interviews. I can't. I was well aware. I looked at the time. I was like, I said, we got to keep for 25 minutes on this one. Y'all can't be mad at that.
Yeah, because you do be kicking people out of here. But, shout out to Keith Thurman. Energy seems right. Seems like he's locked in, focused.
Yeah.
This is definitely a good. I got a 50-50 fight, Sean.
Yeah.
I think this is a good
fight. Did you have a 50-50 prior to the conversation?
Yeah, no, that didn't change.
Oh, okay.
That didn't change.
People look at interviews and that changed everything for them. Yeah.
I'm not.
That's what the interviews are for.
And you know what? Ever since Crawford did what he did, I calmed my nerves. Okay, I was way to the left. I would have bet my baby on that match.
I had a thought, and I'm losing my thought now, but it was about...
Keith Thurman?
It was about the fight with Keith. Oh, this is what I wanted to say.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of... It, you guys go back and watch the video that we did with Keith. We had Keith on a couple years ago now. We had mm-hmm. Keith on. And he was narrating his thought processes about his fight with me.
Yeah, hell of an interview if you can find it.
Yeah, how he prepared to win rounds mm-hmm. against me, opposed to, again, the violent Keith that we've seen, the one-time Keith that we've mm-hmm. seen. And, you know, I was trying to pull it out of him, like, yo, assure the audience that you're coming in here to be violent and get the job done under any means necessary, opposed to just, I skated through with a win. Nobody wants to see that from you no more, Keith, you know what I mean? But it reminded me, listening to him today, reminded me of something my dad used to say. My dad would say, fighters can't be too smart. It's like, fighters can't be too smart. If fighters are too smart, they will outthink themselves. Okay. They will outthink themselves in training. They will outthink themselves thinking they're smarter than their coach. Mm-hmm. They'll outthink themselves thinking that they need to do something in the ring that they shouldn't be doing. The list goes on. You can't be too smart. And so that's really one of the few things that concern me about this fight with Keith. Are you going to get to a point where you're so trying to be so tactical that you pull back on another area and you miss a mark? You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And that is one thing that we know about Keith. We know Keith is extremely smart.
Mm-hmm.
He could have thought himself out of the fight with me by the addition that he. I think it worked in his favor. I also think, I'm like, yo, did you go back and watch the fight and come up with this after the fact, you know? But if you have every round or fight down to a T like that, you may actually overthink something, lose a round that you thought you won, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you're on the opposite end of a decision, you know?
But, I mean, at 35, the guy's 29, Sean, it's like the Kobe Mike LeBron.
Yeah.
Once you get to a certain age, Sean, I can't no longer... out-athletic you, but I can outthink you.
Yeah.
And that's what Keith has in this fight. He has the advantage that I can shoot the jumper. I can hit you with the fadeaway. I know what you're going to do before you're going to do it because I've been there before.
Yeah.
Yes, it's been since 2012. What is it?
22?
It's like last time he got a knockout. It was 2012 when the last time he got a knockout.
No.
Yeah, it was.
That's quite a few years. It wasn't no 2012. Could have been.
10 fights since, 2013.
He retired Louis Collazo. I mean, wasn't a knockout. But
that was 2013.
Damn. Well, that was 2015. For Louis Collazo?
No.
He ain't retiring. He ain't stopped Louis. I thought he had stopped Louis.
Yeah, that could have been what I had.
It was a stoppage.
It was?
Collazo retired at the seventh round.
He stopped Louis?
Yeah.
Because I know Louis caught him with the body shot. That was the first. The first of many.
And then you said a body shot? And I said, then you said, I'm going to go with a body shot. Then that was like the last time we seen that type of Keith Thurman.
Yeah.
And he still performed well.
Yeah.
And then I see what Sean said, where fans just felt like Keith was just up in there just winning fights. Mm-hmm. The killer Keith Thurman was just gone.
Yeah.
And then he's been gone.
Yeah.
So I think that's the biggest worry is, what kind of Keith are we going to get?
Yeah.
Have you done for me lately?
And for me, again, you know, I don't know if I've like truly explained this, but for anybody who's looking at me thinking that I'm picking Keith to win this fight, or I think he's going to win because that's my boy, we go back to the amateurs, so on and so forth, I'm going to tell a funny story, and then we're gonna wrap some things up pretty soon. We got to recap real quick, too.
Gotcha.
But that was the for me, it's just what I'm gonna feed y'all what y'all have fed us. People have always said the last thing to leave a fighter is their power. That's what people have always said.
George Foreman.
The last thing to go is the power. Yeah. Of course, the heavyweight power is different from any other power, but Keith said it himself, and it's an actual fact. The man was gifted with power. That was the blessing that God gave to him. And he used to like throw his stuff from the flow, but it's just how he got the job done. And like he said, Ben Geddes, like, go get him. You know, we need a little bit of that. Go get him on Fight Night against Tim. You know, it can't be just let me move and I'll athleticize you. You know, we need to see that power, you know. I'm going to tell a quick story real quick, and then we're going to recap and get out of here. I don't know. I met a gentleman at the Masters tournament. I hope I can get him on. Amazing story. If not, I'll probably just have him come on next week. But when we fought against the Ukraine, we fought in Chicago. And we all in the locker room, and once you go out, it was like nobody came back to the locker room. So it was like we in the locker room, they go out after they fight, they stay out there, whatever the case may be. And people going out, and ain't nobody coming back in saying, yo, we won. Go out, ain't nobody talking about we won, right? So me and Keith 52, I'm 65, so if y'all imagine this spot, five or so fights that have happened before me and Keith go in, right? And me and Keith, the only ones in the locker room at this point in time. And he said, yo, bro. He said, I ain't leaving here without no win. I said, neither am I. But everybody else had dropped him, right?
Yeah.
He goes out and he won his fight. I don't remember how he won his fight, but I remember they came back in. I think it was my dad came back in and said, we finally got one. Keith won. My dad was one of the coaches, by the way. Mm-hmm. Comes back in and said, Keith won. All right. I said, well, nah, I can't lose. Yeah. I got, like I said, I already said I wasn't going. I said, then he went out and did that. I gotta represent. And that was when I ended up fighting Oleksandr Usyk. Ended up beating him. It was a really, really good fight. Close fight. I gotta find that footage. I will eventually. Let's do this recap real quick. I'm just
going. How'd you beat Usyk?
How did I beat Usyk?
What'd you do? Move? What'd you do?
I'm a beast, y'all.
No. Because your style versus Usyk's style right now wouldn't work. So what'd you do?
Well, I always got to preface this. He was not as tall as he was. He was, I'm.
What age was y'all?
We were 20.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought y'all was teenagers.
20 or 21.
Okay.
So at that point in time, he might have been 5'11".
Okay.
He wasn't, he's a little bit taller now. He might have been 5'11 then. But he was taller and lanky.
Okay.
Southpaw, good boxer, had the nice little in and out rhythm. And kept everybody in front of him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I keep you in front of you with my jab, and I land here, and it's the amateur division. It's just hot. I'll point you and I win. Mm-hmm. The points were close every single round, and I'm not gonna do this because I don't really know verbatim, but I don't remember who was winning every single round.
Yes.
But I remember the coach that was in the corner, and I'm losing his name. But he looked, right before I go out for the last round, we did 4 2-minute rounds. Mm-hmm. The coach said, right before I went out, I mean, he grabbed my foot and everything. I done got off the stool, waiting on the bell to ring. He grabbed my foot. And, you know, there ain't nobody talking over Coach Kenny. You know, he grabbed my foot and he said, He said, Sean, he's open for the right hand. If you land a good right hand on him, you'll get him. And in the midst of us fighting, I somehow, somewhere, I landed this good right hand and wobbled this kid back.
You wobbled who's like?
I wobbled him back. Oh, that's man. A true story, y'all. I wobbled him back, and then I just kept going for it.
Okay.
But again, that was 165. Y'all know him as a heavyweight.
Yeah.
He fought in the Olympic Games at heavyweight, and then when he turned pro, he came down to cruiser. And now he's back at heavy, but, you know, it was one of those grand moments, but it all started in the locker room. Yeah. Where I ain't losing. Me neither, you know what I mean? So, but those are the kinds of things and the relationships and experiences you have in the amateurs. That's why, you know, I've always been a big proprietor of the amateur program.
Who the hell got that tape? I know somebody got it.
It's out in Colorado Springs.
Oh.
I'm going to find it.
I'm about to say. I'm going to find it. I thought you were about to say it's in Ukraine or something.
The zone.
I'm good with that.
Shout out to everybody that fought on the card on fight night. Berlanga and McCory.
Yeah, Berlanga and McCory. This is a perfect fighter for him to look good in. Lack confidence. I noticed his confidence wasn't there for the first 3, 4, 5, and then he started...
First two.
Okay, and then he started building...
From my opinion.
Okay, and then started building
first
up.
First two, and then it started to build.
Yeah.
It started to build after the second, and then the third is... Yeah.
Yeah, but I noticed that him, and then just, I don't know, he looked okay. I didn't think it was the greatest performance with this fighter in front of him, but I'm just like, it's not good enough to fight the top guys, I don't think. Definitely not the guy.
It's not, but just to stick with him in this fight for a second, the thing that I think people don't really understand is it takes some fighters, not everybody, didn't take me, takes some fighters a round or two to get comfortable.
Yeah.
But the thing that I saw from him in the second round, he worked way more in the second round than I thought he was going to work. And the thing is, that's what it takes for you to get comfortable. Just throwing my punches. Everything ain't got to land. Mm-hmm. Everything ain't got to be hard. It ain't got to be the knockout in the second round. But let me just get loose.
Yeah.
Let me start to find something. And I think with him having some success in the second round with just letting his hands go. Remember, that's one thing we don't know about Edgar Berlanga. He's not a combination puncher. He don't really use the jab that much. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's always waiting on the perfect punch. This fight here, again, go back and look at it. He started throwing a double jab. He started letting the jab go a little bit more. He got comfortable, started to see himself have some success. And some fighters, that's what it take. It take me having some success for me to have confidence and believe in myself that I can keep going. And that's what I got from him, too, in that fight.
Yeah, last night, I felt like one thing I know is he's not a killer. When he gets you hurt, he don't go in for the stoppage. But, Sean, you know, a lot of these fighters right now have been moved.
Well, he was going for it, but I
there was moments he buzzed them, Sean, and he just...
There was a couple moments, you're right, that they exchanged hooks.
Yeah.
And I think he tried to go at the dude. The bell might have rung not soon after that. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like, there's people, when you land that punch, it's go time.
Yeah.
And he don't really have that go. But at the end, he did. You know, he stepped up at the end.
There's people being moved fast in boxing right now. Top Rank moved him real fast. But you know what I say? Why don't we just let Berlanga move him slow, just build him up instead of, oh, boom, he deserved Canelo.
What I say about all these young fighters that turn pro, take your time, because once you get there, you can't go back.
That's what
you talking about moving them slow now?
It's too late.
I don't even know the young man's record. He's 22 and 0, I think. 22 or 23-0 now.
Yeah.
It's too late for him to take it slow and have some build up fights. He calling out Canelo. He not getting a Canelo fight, but that's the level that he's at now. And the thing is, they should have just had fun with it. And they shouldn't have. I think they just did a little too much with
the knockout streak.
Yeah.
The knockout streak.
I think they just did a little bit too much with it. And I heard that there was a quote that he said, Devin Haney can outbox people when they go 12 rounds. And they say he looked great. But I'll box somebody and they go 12 rounds and I get a decision and they say I look bad because I didn't get the knockout. No, bruh. Like, you still have to polish your game. Mm-hmm. Your stuff ain't looking sharp and fast
entertaining.
And sweet the way Devin Haney be looking. Your stuff be looking questionable. Your stuff be looking hesitation mm-hmm. left and right. Those fights that he started going the distance in, he started being, he was getting exposed. That's what we call it. So it ain't a matter of you going, him going 12 rounds or 10 to 12 rounds. And because he didn't get the knockout, he not Edgar Berlanga. It's like, nah, bro, like along with not getting the knockout, we mm-hmm. saw some deficiencies and they've gotten better. Okay. You know, this his last fight against Quigley and then this one right here against McCrory, those are two good outings for him. I could definitely see the confidence that built itself, but that's good, you know what I mean? Yeah, I can't argue with that. Good outing.
I just feel like let's dial back the Canelo talk.
Let's
shoot more for I like Caleb Plant. Think he loses that one, but I like a, I like a Caleb Plant fight. I like Boo Boo. Think he loses that one, but I like that fight. I like Anthony Durrell. Think he loses that one, but I like these fights.
Damn.
But yay, day. I'm just he could win, but these guys have been there before. Got the experience, Sean. These guys all fought world champions.
Yeah.
And you want to talk about Canelo. This is still there's still a boogeyman to get through to get to Canelo. It's called David Benavides. Call him out.
Yeah.
Go beat David.
Yeah.
You beat David, you deserve Canelo.
Oh, yeah.
Go beat David.
Yeah.
Say, hey, David, bring your ass over here. Go beat David. No. But I'm just saying, you want him, right? Go beat David.
And Jaime Munguia, that I think is the fight that everybody thinks is going to be next for him.
Yeah, that's right.
The Canelo's not happening. It just is what it is. I think... To me, there's two realistic fights, and the one of the two I actually like just in general for him, and I like for boxing as well. I think a fight with Jaime Munguia, I think that's a fight that can be made. I think it's realistic.
Entertaining.
That's a realistic for us to really break down and talk about right now.
Yep.
That's a fight that could come. Daniel Jacobs.
Mm.
I remember saying I texted you yesterday.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I didn't think about that one. Okay.
Daniel Jacobs, it's a realistic fight that can be made.
Mm-hmm.
It's a name, somebody who's been in the ring with former world champions.
Yes.
Y'all both from the Brooklyn area, the New York Brooklyn area.
Yeah. Okay. You talking, Sean?
He's DJ is on the back end of his career. Last time I saw him was at the OTX fight.
Okay.
He down in Atlanta. So I was like, yo, I got to see you while you're here, while I'm here. You know what I mean? And I said, yo, you done? What's going on? He said, man, it's just got to be the right fight. I said, so you not done? Like, yeah. Like, I'm 36, bro. What you doing?
Yeah.
You know? He's not done. But he wants the right fight. That makes sense. And the money's got to be right. It's this fight right here. This fight sells in New York.
Yes.
That's the profile that you probably, if you going out, I don't want to retire you too soon, big dog, but if you going out, that's the kind of profile you need. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of hip-hop around both guys. People don't know that DJ, when he turned pro with hip-hop. With all those guys, Irv Gotti and those guys.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, yeah.
What about...
So I think that's...
That's I like.
I don't, you know me. I don't match fights, but that came out of nowhere.
That's a hell of a match. What about Jesse Hart?
Jesse, what's going on with Jesse?
He just fought in December.
Did he?
Yes.
Hell yeah, it's a good fight.
That's a good fight.
The profile isn't as big, but I mean, was the profile big for McCrory? Not really. You know.
And this guy.
That's a good fight.
If you get past this guy, you're the real deal. Sergey was at Djovinkovic, you know that the one guy.
Oh, Divinchenko?
Yeah,
Sergey Divinchenko. Yeah.
You can get
and
past
that's New York
him.
Too, and that's New York too.
Yeah, yeah, you can get past him. That's a good out. But yeah.
Not a big name, but a guy who's been in the ring with other names.
Them guys.
That's somebody to add to your resume. But that, in my personal opinion, I mean, if you get a big knockout in that fight, that could probably push you up like quickly. But if he, you know, I think, you know, I like my fight with Daniel Jacobs.
I love you. Yeah. That's a great fight. That sells.
Yeah.
That's a good fight. Now, if he can beat Daniel, then it's like, okay.
Yeah.
We started to see stuff. But just, I mean, I know you say you can't go back now. I say take your time, bro.
Yeah.
Take your time. Boxing is going to be there. Canelo won't, but the boxing will. I remember Keith begging for Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
Never got him.
Yeah.
But boxing still was there.
Yeah.
And look at Keith. He's still in the sport of boxing.
Two different levels, though. Those was two different levels.
Canelo and Floyd?
No.
You're talking about Keith Thurman. Yeah, I know. It was just, I know. I'm just trying to get a kid. The kid's still young, man. Yeah. Still got time to build.
Yeah.
But
still,
man,
got some growing to do too.
Just kind of, yeah, hang out at that level.
Oh, give him a grade for last night, and then we can move on.
C+.
C+. Mm-hmm. B-. Okay. So we right there. Yeah. B-, you got C+.
I feel like the one thing about it, it builds his confidence. He needed that. Sure. He needed that.
Sure. So Quigley gave him some trouble.
Yep. I think next fight be better. 26 years old. I understand you want the top dog, but that's a lot. Zone commentary, y'all crazy. Check out to Chris. Chris was the only one. Like, y'all ain't gonna bring up Dave Benavides.
Chris.
I mean, Maddox.
Yeah,
Maddox didn't let him get off the BS.
I didn't hear that. Yeah, he said
he ain't let him get off the BS. But
he cussed as soon as he came on the post.
He did.
Just let one out. So I was like, hey, I got my kids in the room. My boys be doing something, but they hear everything.
Oh, see, you get 5 cuss words before I turn in my kid. I'm like, all right, yeah, you tripping. Come on, man.
You give him
so get 5 cuss words. Yeah, I give my kid 5.
I'll do 1.
Okay.
5.
Hey, no, I'm like, man, you cussing too much, man. Come on, man, my kid out here.
Oh, no, you not, you after 3? How is 3 not the limit? How is 3 not the limit?
I'm like, come on, man, you ain't got to cuss that much and explain something.
Hey, anyway, and then Cajas. That was a good fight as long as it lasts. I was like, man, like, what can you say about the Inoue brothers? Mm-hmm. Get them out of Japan. I think if anything, get them out of Japan.
Bring them America.
And I already know that the other Inoue, what's his?
Don't worry about it. Big bro. Big bro.
Yeah, big bro. Yeah, I know big bro already fought over here, but I think you just got to get them out of their comfort zone and see how they respond. Mm-hmm. I ain't questioning their skills or nothing like that. But the kid was too comfortable. Yeah. And I was trying to figure out, like, is it just that you're this good? Mm-hmm. And Cajas, even though he is who he is, he's still 2 steps behind you. Mm-hmm. And you found moments that you could coast and stand in front of this kid and still dig the body and stuff like that. I'm not questioning your skills. I just want to get you out of your comfort zone. See if that shakes up anything, if that rattles anything. Not that you got to be shook and rattled. I just want to see you in something competitive. And maybe getting you out of your comfort zone will make things a little bit more competitive. Because that fight right there, it was his fight top to bottom.
Yeah, it's hard to... Does he get this more pub because of who his brother is or who he is?
I think he found his way on this in this moment because of his brother. But shit, did you see it?
Yeah, I seen the body shot.
No. Did you see the fight?
No, I seen the body shot.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Kid is special. Okay. Like
Takuma. Takuma is his name.
Yeah, Takuma, that's Takuma. But what's his brother's name? I couldn't.
Nioa.
Nioa. Yeah. Man, he looks sharp. One more thing, Sean Gibbons, stop sacrificing these Filipino fighters, taking them over to Japan. That's enough. They can't get with them Inoue brothers. Stop taking the Filipinos over there to fight the Inoue brothers.
How you know that was his manager? You just seen a Filipino dude in Japan. He said, Sean Gibbons.
Absolutely.
I know you did.
Absolutely, because I know. I know who Ancas is with. Okay. And then Nakatani. If y'all get a chance to watch Nakatani versus Santiago, this is why I'm breaking this down. Because number one, I love talking over replays.
Nakatani fought Shakur Stevenson? Nakatani?
No.
Oh, that's a different one?
I think, yeah, it's a different one, I believe. I could be wrong.
Okay, I'll look it up. Go, you good?
But whatever the case, listen, he hits dude, he throws a 1-2 and he misses with the first right hand. He comes right back with the 1-2. Changes the trajectory.
Oh no, this is a different dude, right?
And lands it right on the button. And I wanted to break this down for y'all, and I want y'all to go back and watch it, is because I want y'all to really recognize how fast we have to think. And when you talk about a fighter being cerebral, and you talk about a fighter being intelligent, when you can see a fighter make adjustments that fast, that's how you know how smart a fighter is. He threw a 1-2. He missed with the 2, but he knew where the fighter was going to be. So he threw the 1-2 again, landed it, because he knew where this opponent, where his opponent was going to be. To me, that was just beautiful boxing, and a big win for Nakatani as well. So
he fought Maloney. That's what, Andrew.
I got you.
Yeah, yeah.
Next week we got Paul and Serrano.
Paul Serrano and
did you see Amanda Serrano is the main event?
Yeah, yeah, and I like and that. Paul, shout out to Jake Paul for doing that. Our boy over there working, Coach Wade, just stay on the trip, stay working. But shout out to Coach Wade. Yeah, Paul, I'm not familiar who he's fighting. No, be honest with you, Sean. Okay, I thought you was gonna pull one out the.
He looked like
he's 17-2, 6 KOs. Ryan,
he looked like Kovnatsky.
Could be a lineage of the Kanatsky family. We got Paul's in the co-main right now. What much can you say?
No, I don't really.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, that's next week. Amanda gets to defend her title at home. That's big.
Bold prediction for me. She retires after this fight.
Wow.
Bold prediction. She's been around the block so many times. It has been at this high level so long.
Fought on one of your cards.
Yeah.
Danny Garcia.
When I looked at it, I was like, they fighting in Puerto Rico. He moved himself off of the main event and elevated her to the main, giving her her shine, getting her her money, everything that she should have had a long time ago. I said, yo, she about to.
This is it?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm not mad at
this, it. This is the way to go off into
and
the
if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I'm just like, you know what?
Yeah.
I got a feeling.
Shout out to Amanda. Hell of a career, her and her sister.
I won't be there, but I will definitely be watching.
Okay. And then we got the big announcement. The Frank versus the Tank.
Frank versus the Tank.
And when I seen it, I don't know why I did it. I mean, I think this is a good fight.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to this
one. Hell yeah.
A lot of people like, I see people put out videos. All Tank does is duck people. Who's this guy? I'm like, if you don't know Frank Martin, you don't know boxing.
Fan. Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. If you say, who is Frank Martin?
Who would you?
They want the show.
If you can't get, but if you in the game, you know why we not getting that.
Yeah.
What else would you want?
Yep.
For anybody talking about Pitbull Cruz, get that up out of here. And I told you that fight would never happen.
You did.
It's a hell of a fight.
Sure. Yeah, hell of a fight. I'm looking forward
to it. Two southpaws.
Yeah.
Two quick and elusive guys.
You guys will see a part of Tank that you've never seen before that Frank will bring out of him.
Absolutely.
And you will see Frank box at an elite level.
Absolutely.
This will be a great fight.
Yeah.
Yes, my man does have the power, and we know what could happen with that power.
Yeah.
But I think this is going to be a good fight, man.
Frank be in and out so fast.
Yeah, this is a good fight, Sean.
Athletic, too.
This is a good fight. I'm here for it. I think Frank training with, my guy down there, DJ. Derrick James. Call him DJ. I don't know why I called him that. Shout out to Showbiz. He got me on that. Derrick James will have him right. Coach Calvin will have Tank right. Tank's been out of the ring for a while. But, man, I'm looking forward to this fight.
Yeah.
Where's this at?
I don't know. But I'm kind of like.
Gotta be Vegas.
I'm thinking of something right now. I'm like, yo, everything that's about to get poured out on Prime is about to be lovely.
Oh, I thought you were about to say I'm going to spar with somebody for this fight.
No.
Okay.
No, but they pouring out some lovely stuff. And fight after fight, like every single card on Prime is gonna be nice.
And I ain't gonna speak on too much, but maybe we get a couple between the Tim Tszyu, Frank Martin.
Is this May fight?
Oh, I don't even think they named that. It's just like summer, right?
Oh, okay.
I don't think they really threw a date out there.
Okay. No biggie.
Yeah, I don't think they really threw a date. I think it was just like announced that the fight's going to happen. I'm hyped about this fight, Sean. I don't know why, but I'm very, very, very hyped. A lot of people not give my man Frank a shot. Frank, go up there and do your thing, bro. But at the same time, I'm a big, huge Tank fan.
Tank different, yo.
I know. That's why it's like we know what Frank can do, but Tank is one of them elites. But, Sean, when you get your moment, you had your moment. When you get your moment, you got to take advantage of your moment.
I just want to, like, a little focus on this picture here. Right here in Tank, Frank, you got a guy that's always focused.
Yes.
Knows that there's a challenge in front of him, and he's one of those guys that doesn't shy away from the challenge. gets himself into a mental place that he's got to do what he's got to do. But even with this, I know he's flexing and all that kind of stuff, but he's a little tight. Gervonta Tank, Tank is just...
He didn't.
He's not smiling because he won. He's not smiling because he got the stop. That's who he is. Mm-hmm. It's hard to smile through this. Mm-hmm. Y'all know me. I smile all the time. Mm-hmm. But when y'all seen me on the stage, I had to get into a place. Mm-hmm. I had to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. And Frank has to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Because that smile right there is going to make him uncomfortable.
But at the same time, you got the face of boxing. When it's time to go, he ain't gonna smile.
Listen.
He is locked in.
But I know him. His mindset is all right.
But he's also a psychopath.
All right. It's gonna take Frank 5 rounds at least to even, and it's gonna take.
Get comfortable?
It's gotta take, no. I'm saying it's gonna take five rounds of Frank looking spectacular and really putting some stuff on Tank that he did not expect for Tank to feel rattled.
Okay, yeah. Rolly had Tank rattled till he didn't.
Rolly never had Tank rattled.
He didn't?
No!
He was respecting that hand.
It's a replay of him looking out at his
okay,
coach.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Yelling at his coach. Even though he getting outboxed. Yeah, you know what I mean? Basically,
I got this.
Rolly came to the ring with something that they didn't expect. It just took a couple rounds. But yeah, that's you're right. He's a psychopath. I'm going to get you. Yeah. It's cool. I'm going to get you.
I think all the elites are psychopaths. You got to be like that.
Got it. I think, yeah. Yeah. This is a hell of a fight, man.
Yeah, I think you got to, yeah, just mentally. But I think this is a good fight, man.
Hell yeah.
I could see this going 12. Obviously, it can't. So there's somebody over there that could stop it from going 12. But I can see this going 12.
You said what?
There's somebody up in there that can stop it from going 12. And I ain't saying I'm picking Frank.
And listen,
I'm saying this is a good fight.
Frank sharp too.
Oh, I know. Frank got
some thump himself.
I know. I'm saying this is a good. This is a good fight, match. Man. All
right.
I think this is one of the best ones we're gonna get.
All right. This is the best y'all gonna get from us today.
Yeah. We out here. We're running late.
My Patreon subscribers, I appreciate y'all. Theportaway.com for all of the merchandise.
What you gotta say?
SPSuits.com.
Okay, yeah, shoot your stuff.
Just launched.
Okay.
Let me make sure.
Shoot some services.
SP Suits. Just launched.
Oh, you got a website?
Yeah.
Oh, about time. Oh,
man. It's Sean P. Suits.
Oh, no. It's no longer. It's down.
Sean P. Suits. I think we're going to have to change this domain. I thought I had talked to them about changing this domain.
Well, for right now.
Sean P. Suits. Oh, do you like Sean P. Suits?
You have to say it. Okay?
Listen, motivational message. Next week, I got a treat for y'all. I already know who I got coming for the motivational message. They won't be in the studio, but I met a gentleman over at the Masters Division amateur tournament. They got some 72-year-olds up in there fighting. They got some 60s, 50s, 40s, of course, some 35. The Masters Division, for anybody who may want to compete in boxing, look them up online. The Masters Division for the amateur boxing is 35 and up. And I know that there was somebody, there were two different individuals just today and yesterday that fought were 72 years old. So
Wow. They
pretty much, they match you up. They make sure, you know, everything is legit. But you guys want to start training? They out here in August at the Westgate. They out here, they're back in August at the Westgate. The Portaway podcast will be streaming live during those fights when they happen out in August. Nevertheless, man, I met a great individual. I want him to come on and tell a story. We'll use that as motivation next week. This week, I was driving today and I saw a whole bunch of cop cars go past me on the highway. I'm going north. They going south. I text my wife. Hey, I just seen a whole bunch of cop cars. I don't know what's going on, but be aware. And I don't know where they was going. I don't know what was going on, but if my wife doing anything, I need you to be aware of your surroundings. I need you to know what's going on at all times because I don't need anything to happen to you, to our children. The list goes on. After I sent that to my wife, it reminded me of something my dad used to always say. Shout out to my dad. He had a saying for us. He would always say, be alert. And my dad was very strategical and and everything that he did, even if it didn't make sense in the moment, it sure as hell makes sense now. My dad would say, when you get up, you look behind, you make sure you get everything. When you walk out the door, you lock the door. After you lock the door, you turn the knob to make sure you locked it. You push it, make sure. He said, when you walk out, before you even step out, you look out first. He said, you got to always be alert. And that's my motivational message to y'all. But we're going to take this a step further. My dad was always talking about just being alert of your surroundings, making sure that nothing ever happened. Make sure that you knew what was going on so that nothing could happen. But I want you guys to also be alert of how you speak to other individuals. Be alert of how you treat other individuals. Be alert of how you present yourself, whether that's at work, at home, with family, out in public, the list goes on. Be alert of all that because, number one, you never know who's watching you, who's learning from you. But even beyond that, it goes back to what you always say. Treat people right. Mm-hmm. Treat people well. Treat people like they're like you want to be treated yourself. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So I just want people to be alert out there. You know, be alert because you never know who's watching and you never know who you're affecting. You could be affecting people in a positive way. You could be affecting people in a negative way. Be alert so that you affect people in a positive way. This is the Porterway Podcast.
Stay blessed.
I said that wrong. This is the Porterway.
It's over.
It's no, it's not. He'll cut it. This is the Porterway.
Clear.